Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. In our study of heaven series with Dr. John Neufeld, we will listen to the message today on seeing God face to face. So let's begin by turning to our text in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4.
So many popular pictures of heaven make it seem so unlike the picture we have in our Bible. We've all heard of endless golf courses, getting whatever we want, picking Belgium chocolates from trees, the reunion with people we've known and loved, and even the idea of finally coming to terms with what life is truly all about and discovering ourselves, gaining peace with our disappointments while we were on earth, and having all our questions answered regarding the things we didn't understand. You know, even among Christians, there is this kind of unfounded speculation about heaven. But of course, the Bible does teach us about the new heavens and the new earth, about the resurrection of the body. The Bible presents us with a picture of a real country with sights and sounds and smells and tastes. And we're told we'll eat and drink in heaven. We're told about a body not subject to weakness, nor aging, nor disease. But all of this pales in significance to that one thing of which heaven is really all about. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Revelation 22:3-5 says, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. The night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." I spoke of the other things first, I mean the new heaven and the new earth and our receiving of new bodies, because there is so much misinformation about heaven. I did not want us to adopt Greek philosophical views of heaven as if it were some kind of a spiritual realm devoid of physicality, for if we adopt that vision, we miss what God has prepared for us. But today, we'll be discussing the main thing. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Martin Luther once said, "I'd rather be in hell with Christ than be in heaven without him." Does that sound surprising? Psalm 73, verse 25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you." Now, of course, Martin Luther did not believe that he would be in hell with Jesus. He did, however, believe that to be without Jesus would be the ultimate in horror. And Asaph in Psalm 73 was not saying there were not other things that gave him joy. He is saying that, in comparison to all other things, there simply is no competition between them and God. That's why what he really wanted out of heaven was not the body that will never tire, although he surely would have rejoiced in the news of that. But if you give him that and did not give him God, well, he was not interested. Like Paul, who would say of his ancestry, "I count everything else as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ." Or consider Psalm 84. Verse 1 begins this way, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs yet faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." Then as we go forward to verse 10, the psalmist says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." I begin in this fashion because there are all manner of people who seek heaven but do not seek God. They have passions in their lives, some of which are not necessarily bad on their own, but they do not seek God as their highest joy. They know so little about what David spoke out in Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple." Or some have no understanding of what Moses said to God. He told him that he would lead him and the people to the promised land. And in Exodus 33, verse 15, Moses says, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." Imagine saying, "If your presence is not in heaven, then Lord, don't bring me up there. I have no greater desire than to gaze on your beauty." Years ago, John Piper wrote a groundbreaking book entitled Desiring God. I remember the book began with Piper stating that he wanted to stand on top of the highest building in New York City and shout out, "Hedonistic America, you are not nearly hedonistic enough." You have chosen short-term pleasures that leave you with long-term pain, when the ultimate pleasure of knowing God stood before you and you would not have it. In that same book, Piper would go on to say that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And it is this satisfaction in God, this delight in God, this finding in God, the sole source of all pleasure, the reason for existence, the fountainhead of all that is lovely, and the consummation of all I have longed for. It is this that makes the redeemed long for heaven. Perhaps that's exactly what Paul meant when he said, to depart and be with Christ, that's better by far, for he wanted to see him for whom his soul longed. I'm reminded of Johann Frank, the German lawyer and poet and hymn writer living in the 17th century, who wanted to express the hedonistic pleasure he found in Christ and did so in the following lines. He wrote, "Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Long my heart hath panted till it well nigh fainted, thirsting after thee. Thine I am, O spotless Lamb. I will suffer not to hide thee, ask for naught beside thee." Now, I have noticed that as one reads through the book of Revelation in chapter 4, then in chapter 5, and then in chapter 7, and then in chapter 11 again, and then in chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 18, and 19, all of these chapters have lengthy expressions of praise in them. See, there can be no doubt that the life to come is filled with events in which the redeemed stand before the throne. Think of it this way. Worship is one of the great privileges that has been given us. Worship is a celebration of God. When we worship, we celebrate Him, His attributes, that is, who He is, and we celebrate what He has done. It is a party, a hedonistic feast of holy joy. But worship is also commanded. Psalm 37, verse 4 commands us, "Delight yourself in the Lord." This is a serious command. C.S. Lewis said that joy is the serious business of heaven. It is serious because, as Jeremy Taylor said, God threatens terrible things if we will not be happy in Him. Well, why would that be? Well, first of all, let's agree on this. Human beings crave happiness. See, we can't live without it. Listen to what French philosopher Blaise Pascal stated about it. He said, "All men seek happiness, that is, without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and of others avoiding it is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object. This is the motive of every action of every man, even of those who hang themselves." So why do people commit suicide? Pascal says that they do it because they cannot live without being happy. We demand happiness. We even fight for it. God created us that we might be happy. Now follow this train of thought one more step. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. "But the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of a compliment, approval, of giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. Lovers praising their mistresses. Readers their favorite poet. Walkers praising the countryside. Players praising their favorite game. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is an appointed consummation." She can't be happy without praising something. We cannot be happy in God without praising Him. See, imagine I came home tonight and bought my wife Kathy a bouquet of flowers. She looks at me and says, "Well, it's not my birthday or anniversary or a special day." And what if I said, "Yeah, but honey, it's my duty to do this on occasion." See, that would not honor her. It would be an attempt to honor myself as someone who does his duty. She'd be rightly upset, and I'd probably say, "Well, you know, women, who can understand them anyway?" But imagine I said, "You know, I bought you these flowers because as I thought of you today, I was overwhelmed with your beauty and the joy that you have brought me and the love I have for you, and I just needed to find a way to express that to you." See, show me someone who cannot enter into worship with joy, and I will show you someone who has never delighted themselves in the Lord. We were created for relationship with God, and that relationship expresses itself in worship, in the sounds of the pleasure that we find in our God. And when we come back, let me take those expressions of pleasure and bring them to a consummation, that place where we will worship God in heaven, in fact, even more so. That place, as the Bible says, we will see God face to face in all His glory.
To desire God above all things, even above the people we love, is such an important part of what it means to follow Christ. As fallen beings, we often fail to keep Him at the center of our lives. Yet not only does this expose our sin, but it prevents us from seeing the big picture of what we ought to be looking forward to, that is, an eternity spent worshiping and being with Him in heaven. But what exactly does it mean that we will see God face to face? Is this even possible? Join us again as Dr. Neufeld helps us unpack this important question. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine Confident Living, and a way to support the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.